Hello and welcome to Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio. This is Stefan, your host, British by birth, American by choice. The Founding Fathers crafted some remarkable documents that led to the creation of a great country founded on liberty and self-reliance. I have lived in the Euro-socialist nightmare, and I'm doing what I can to return this country to the vision that the Founding Fathers gave us. We need to strive to rebuild that shining city on the hill, for without us, the world has nowhere to turn for freedom. For the next hour, I will be presenting news, views, and guests that help keep the true spirit of America alive. And good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever, whenever you're listening to the show. This is Stefan, your Patrick Come Lately, welcoming you to episode 336 of Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio. This show is being recorded off of my normal schedule. I mentioned on earlier shows that I am going to be out of the country for a short while and would not be able to broadcast live, so I wanted to record this show. And tonight's show is an annual special because it will get broadcast shortly after Constitution Day, and this is the Constitution Day special. And what I've been doing around the time of September 17th, which is the official Constitution Day, so honored because that was the day that the Constitution was signed at the Constitutional Convention way back in 1789, if I remember rightly. And ratification followed in 1791. But anyway, so as I said, this is the Constitution Day specialist. Special, and I'm no specialist. I do like to study the Constitution. I think we can learn a lot from it. I believe we should stick more to it than the government today does, because I think it is itself an amazing document and just absolutely amazing how over 200 years ago the people could put together something which still is relevant. And, you know, notwithstanding the fact that the regressives are trying to tell us that the Constitution is not relevant anymore, but yeah, it is indeed relevant. And I wish we would use it a lot more and not try to circumvent it. So as many of the regressives, and these are regressives on both sides of the aisle, try to do. So folks, a look at the Constitution and my layman's view, my foreigner's view, if you like, coming from my foreigner background, but my view of some key parts of this document. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, obviously. That's more than my one-hour show would allow. But I do want to pick out some key sections, articles, even phrases, and let's just talk a little bit about them. Now, of course, this document started with that very, very famous preamble, which has that very, very famous phrase at the beginning of it, "We the people." "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Now, preamble. Let's remember, in those days, many important documents always started with a preamble. So that's, you know, a normal thing. But it's also an important part of the document because it kind of tells you what they're intending to do. And as I said, so we the people of the United States. Now notice that, we the people of the United States. It's not saying we the Congress or we the Constitutional Convention or we the important people from the several states. It's saying we the people of the United States, everybody. And that was their intention. It was something which was supposed to have come from what everybody in the United States wanted. Now, obviously, not everybody's going to want the same thing, but there was a lot of discussion leading up to this, not just in the Constitutional Convention, but in the taverns and the coffee houses all through the states as they existed at that time. So, we the people of the United States, it is, the Constitution is something that applies to everybody in the United States. Well, let me just rephrase it. Applies to all citizens in the United States. And I think that's another important one to know. So what they wanted to do, in order to form a more perfect union, they needed to make a more perfect union because the Articles of Confederation, which basically governed the country since July 4, 1776, were not working. The union under the Confederation wasn't working, and that's why they had this constitutional convention, and that's why they decided, basically, they were forced to create a new constitution because the Articles of Confederation were not working. And originally, the Constitutional Convention that took place in Philadelphia was set up, had an objective of rewriting the Articles of Confederation. But very early on, the delegates saw that that wouldn't work, that they really had to have something that was going to go further. And so they basically said, instead of trying to rewrite or tweak the Articles of Confederation, let's throw everything out the window and let's start afresh. And that's when they came up with the Constitution. So in order to form a more perfect union, that was needed. What were the things they wanted to do in that more perfect union? They wanted to establish justice. So obviously we have in the Constitution, we see a definition of the judiciary. Ensure domestic tranquility. They put in rules that governed how the states would interact with each other. Basically, they wanted to prevent folks from going to war between the states over things that should be regulated by the federal government. Provide for the common defense. The Constitution is about determining the purview of the federal government, and one of those is the common defense. In other words, the defense of the United States to foreign enemies, specifically, that's the common defense. That means an army. That means a navy. At the time, they didn't obviously have an air force, but that was one of the important parts of this. And of course, that comes back to the when we go to the Bill of Rights and look at the 10th Amendment, where it defines what belongs to the federal government, what belongs to the states, and obviously the common defense was part of that. But notice it's the common defense. And we get into some wording later on which kind of defines how defense inside the country should take place. The next phrase in the preamble is probably, and the same phrase does get used later on in the document as well, but this is probably the most misused phrase in the whole Constitution. Promote the general welfare. Promote, that's pretty obvious. Welfare, not so much. General welfare. What do they mean with general welfare? Well, and this is why I say this is the most misused phrase in the Constitution. And I hate to say it, as good as the Constitution is, this is one place where the writers of the Constitution fell down because they didn't define the general welfare closely enough. If you look at today's laws, if you look at any kind of serious legal document, they do have kind of a preamble, but a lot of the, in addition to the preamble, there is a lot of text that is brought up and defines things. They didn't do that in those days, unfortunately, because they should have defined the general welfare. Now, one of the things we have to remember, at the time, the American people in general were more politically savvy than most people today. And the term the general welfare would have been very much understood by everybody. And it's kind of an extension of the common defense. General welfare means making sure that everything is going well with the country. Unfortunately, the regressives used this term, misused this term, by interpreting it literally. And if you say general welfare, general things good for America, you can now twist it around and say anything that you do, you feel is good for America, and therefore it's part of the Constitution and it's part of something that the federal government can do. Now, this was not at all the intention of the writers of the Constitution. Like I said, not defining that more clearly is one of the biggest mistakes they made in the whole document. And the final phrase here, the final part of this preamble, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. So, you know, we've often heard the phrase, are we going to leave our children better off than we were? In a way, let's think about it. It's the same thing, right? They're talking about securing the blessings of liberty for the people at the time, but also for their posterity, for their children and grandchildren. So, let's see how we're doing on time here. No, the clock is ticking, so we are coming up to the first commercial. So why don't we take a break here, and then we're going to start going through the articles of the Constitution. Like I said, not all of them, but I do want to pick out some of them as we go through and comment on some of these in relationship to what's going on in the country today, or has happened in the past. And you know, I would say the 20th century and now the 21st century, a lot of people are interpreting the Constitution very differently as it was intended by the writers of the Constitution. or ignoring it, so basically corrupting the Constitution. Okay, folks, it's time for a commercial. I will be back after these messages.
You can lose 10, 20, 30 pounds or more with Maximum Slim's first ever rapid weight loss guarantee. Today, you get Maximum Slim, an advanced fat and carb blocker, absolutely risk-free. The all-natural ingredients in Maximum Slim are a powerful weight loss combination. The Maximum Slim formula turns your body into a fat-burning furnace that supercharges your weight loss. Advanced fat and carb blocker stops the breakdown of sugar so your body doesn't store it as fat. Today, you'll get both of these products absolutely risk-free with no obligation. Only pay shipping. There are no expensive meal plans or exhausting DVDs. Just take Maximum Slim twice a day. It's fast, simple, and now it's guaranteed. Look, you can start losing weight today or not. Go back to your high school days and wear your favorite jeans again. Guaranteed. Call now and get both weight loss formulas free. Call 800-451-0228. 800-451-0228. That's 800-451-0228.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend.
Huh?
The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. That's 800-917-8546.
You're listening to Patriot Come Lately Talk Radio, broadcast on the internet, and also available at archives.patriotcomelately.us, a proud member of the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. And, folks, this is Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately, welcoming you back. By the way, just a reminder, if you would like to send me feedback or comments on this show. I'm not expecting anybody in the live chat room tonight because this is an off-schedule broadcast. So you may be listening to this much later after it was recorded, so obviously can't get into the chat room. But I would ask you, if you've got comments, feedback, questions, whatever, please send me an email, stefan@patriotcomelately.us. Love to hear from my listeners. I will try and answer your email, you know, as soon as I get it. Obviously, being out of the country, if you send it in shortly after hearing this particular recording, I might not get back to you as quickly as normal. But I do like to reply via email to these questions that come in, and I will also bring up the question in a future show, or the comments, the feedback. Like to share that with the listeners. If you don't have email, don't want to release your email, you can also go to my website, www.patriotcomelately.us, and there is a contact form there where you can fill in. Now, it does ask you for an email address, but this way it is kept hidden from from spammers, etc. And I promise that I won't be spamming you either. I just use it to reply to you directly. So let's go back to the Constitution. Just finished going through the preamble, and now we're going to go through the body of the document. First article describes the legislative branch. I think I'm probably preaching to the choir here. Most of my listeners will know that the writers of the Constitution, I don't know whether they're technically really the Founding Fathers, because the Founding Fathers are the ones that signed the Declaration of Independence, at least in my opinion. But if you think about it, the Constitution was actually truly the foundation of the United States. Declaration was nice. We fought a war over it. We won the war. But as I said earlier in the show, when we started existing as a nation, we were originally under the Articles of Confederation, and that didn't work. So it was really when this awesome document, the Constitution, was created that we laid the foundation for this country to grow and become great. And if you think about it, the 5,000-year leap, the Skousen book, amazing book as well, hardly recommended if you haven't read it. But it could never have been written if it had not been for the Constitution, because the Constitution is really what made all of America possible. So the Founding Fathers had the three branches, checks and balances, made them all co-equal in power, supposedly. Now, a lot of that's been corrupted and changed so that the president, and especially this president, thinks that he can do whatever he likes. But it was originally designed to be somewhere where we've got these three equal branches and they check and balance each other. And it's only because the legislative branch, the elites in Washington, have basically given up a lot of their powers that we've lost a lot of those checks and balances. Article 1. I think, for me, the most important part is the first section. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress. Well, try telling that to King Barry as he writes executive order after executive order. Try telling that to the EPA. Try telling that to the IRS. Try telling that to Department of Education. Department of this, Department of that they do not have legislative powers. This is one area, if you think about it, where the Congress has given away a lot of its power, because they wrote laws which basically said, we will create a department of nose picking, and the department will write the rules and regulations. That's not the way it's supposed to be. All legislative powers herein granted. In other words, they are vested in the Congress. It is the Congress that has the legislative powers. They're the ones that are supposed to make the rules and regulations. Now, this Article 1 goes on to describe a lot of things. It puts a lot of stock on how many representatives there are going to be, how they are chosen every 2 years, we know that. It is a Republican form of election. In other words, we are choosing members of the House of Representatives by the people of several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for the electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. In other words, the states were the ones who decided who could and could not vote, but it had to be based on the most numerous branch of the state legislature, whether that was their equivalent of the House of Representatives or the equivalent of the state Senate. And he gives a lot of other things about the age, that you have to be an inhabitant of the state for which you are chosen, and things like that. I don't want to go into all the details, but the next part is important. Section 3. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, chosen by the legislator thereof. Of course, this was overruled by an amendment, right? And that amendment was, I think, was that the 16th Amendment? I believe it was. It was the 17th Amendment. And that's when they changed it from the legislatures of the state appointing the senators to the senators being chosen by the electors. This changed the whole meaning of the senators, the whole objective of having the Senate in the first place. And probably has a lot to do with the mess we have in Washington today. Because basically what happened, senators were elected by people and did not represent their state, because all they had to do was go back and campaign, and then they could go off, but they weren't held accountable. And that's another part of the problem. We don't hold our elected officials accountable. So they can basically do what they like. And then they come back and say, okay, you know, we're going to do this, this, and this for you. Vote for me, and I'll do, you know, whatever you want. And then they get voted in, they go off to Washington, and they do whatever they want. And especially for the senators were supposed to be representatives of the states. Yes, the representatives in the House also came from the states, but they were elected directly by the people. So making the senators directly elected by the people didn't have a lot of sense. Now, the reason for it was because in the past there had been occasions when the power of the state legislatures, and often in many states it was one party, one or other party. I mean, I think both sides of the aisle were guilty of this. But one or other of the parties in the state misused their power, and there was a lot of shenanigans going on before somebody was basically sent to Washington as a senator representing that state. And so the regressives who want to have a democracy, not a Republican democracy, but want to have a true democracy, because that basically gives them more power. They were the ones that pressed for having the 17th Amendment passed, and which meant that senators were no longer chosen by the states, but were chosen by the people in the states, just like the representatives in the House are. Why have two houses? Very little difference. But that's, that is unfortunate. That's one of the big issues that happened, and maybe that's one of the things we should try to change. Now, there's lots of other things about how old senators should be, how old representatives should be, the fact that the vice president is the president of the Senate, but he has no vote except to break a tie. One important objective for the Senate is they have the sole power to trial impeachments, but there are also some other areas where the Senate actually is responsible for providing advice and or consent on appointments, treaties, etc., which was another reason why it was supposed to be someone who represented the state legislators and supposedly would have been held accountable by the state legislators for the actions that they undertook in Washington. You see, now there is no accountability. In those days, the intention of the Founding Fathers was to say, okay, we're going to send a senator up there, but he basically has to act and vote the way that we back in the state want him to. And if he doesn't, it is our power to recall him, and it is our power to replace him with someone else. You don't have that today, because it's just, well, let's go to the ballot box, and you know, if I've got a D after my name, I know I'm going to get 45% of the vote. If I've got an R under my behind my name, I know I'm going to get 40% of the vote, and then I just need to fight for the other 10% to 10 to 12, 15% to get me over halfway so I can get more than my opponent. Wasn't the way it was supposed to be, folks. Okay, folks, I see that we've reached another break, so I'm going to play some more commercials. And after the break, some music, and there's really only one song that I can play tonight. Those of you who have listened to the show a number of times will probably recognize it or may be able to guess which song, but you'll see after the break. So here we go with the commercials and then some music afterwards.
Patriot come lately. British by birth. American by choice. Just like the Founding Fathers. The voice of the conservative resistance.
This is Stefan, your patriot come lately, proud to be on Red Nation Rising Radio. These can be dark and depressing times, but Main Street USA finally has a competitive voice to traditional mainstream media outlets, and it's screaming at all hours, 24/7, we want our country back. America, it's time to wake up, expose the regressives, and keep listening to the new dominant force in conservative internet talk radio, the Red Nation Rising Radio Network, powered by ICRN.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call 800-516-3405. 800-516-3405, 800-516-3405. Call right now. That number again is 800-516-3405.
You're listening to Patriot Come Lately Talk Radio, broadcast on the internet, and also available at archives.patriotcomelately.us, a proud member of the Red Nation Rising Radio Network.
Place. doing are not good for you and me. Together we are united. Together we are strong. With one voice we'll stand up against everything that's wrong. Time to stand up, time to speak out. We've got a fight to get it back. Gotta reach out, get the thieves out. This country's ours, and we're taking it back. We the people, for the people, by the people. We've got a fight to get it back. Gotta reach out, get the thieves out. This country's ours.
And that is the lovely Ava Aston with that lovely song, We the People, a real tea party anthem, right? 5-6 years ago. Very, very popular. You don't really hear it very much now, but listen to the words, folks, and I think it expresses everything that... we've continued to say, and whether it's as Tea Partiers, whether it's as constitutionalists, whether it's as this, that, whether it's as Trumpers, right? Those words speak for us. Great song. So if you like the song, go to iTunes and buy it. Help support Ava. Or go to her website and buy that song, but also some of her other music. She is a very talented singer. Her website is Ava Aston, AvaAston.com, AvaAston.com. And you can buy music and other stuff there as well. And like I said, you can also find her on iTunes. I'm not sure if you can find her at the Amazon or Google sites as well. But take a look for her, like I said, because... She is a conservative singer, if you like. Has a number of political songs. Has a number of political YouTubes that she's put out. She's very open about being conservative and supporting the right, as opposed to the left of the aisle. So she deserves our support, and especially for that song, because, as I said, it occasionally when you think things aren't going well and, you know, getting a little despondent, I like to put that song on because I find it inspiring. Anyway, let's get back to the Constitution and have some interesting... sections that I want to talk about now, because we're still talking about the Congress. I want to go to Section 8. Section 8 states that the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises. Did anybody tell that to King Barry? Did anybody tell that to the regressives? Did anybody tell that to our current presidential candidates? Because a lot of the time they're talking about their tax plans. No, it's Congress who has that power. All that the president is supposed to do is faithfully execute in that respect what Congress tells him to do, him or her to do. but hopefully not her, at least not this time around, because that would be disaster for America. So, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises. And what can they collect taxes for? To pay the debts and provide for the common defense. Well, hey, that is perfect. But then here comes the snake in the grass. So, to provide for the common defense, which, right, taxes to pay for the army, for the navy, and of course nowadays as well the air force. That's obvious. But to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. The general welfare of the United States. And this is, as I said before, this is now where basically the regressives, the big government, the people who don't like the Constitution, basically just say that means they can use it for anything they like, because anything which is to the benefit of the people of the United States, therefore, is the general welfare. Well, like I said, this was not the intention of those that wrote this document. At the time, they knew that the general welfare did not mean anything to do with the people of the United States. It meant, much like the common defense, it meant at a very high level betterment of the United States, but not each and everything. And now you see, especially from regressives on the left, they say, well, no, constitutionality of this law comes from the general welfare clause. Now, there is no general welfare clause per se, but this is one of the places where that general welfare clause, in inverted commas or in quotes, this is where, as I said, this term general welfare is misused and is just say, well, no, it's for the good of the United States, so we can raise this tax because we're doing it for the general welfare of people. No, but that's not it. It isn't for the general welfare of people. It's for the general welfare of the United States. So it's really for the political betterment of the United States, not just for to hand out goodies and entitlements to the people of the United States. Interesting, that happened. Okay, folks, I see again that time has been running away, but that's fine. Time, another quick commercial. Bear with me, and then we'll go into the last section of this Constitution Day special.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more on your federal or state income taxes, I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. The IRS, with their Fresh Start initiative, is offering more flexible terms to Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. They can help you lift your wage garnishments, stop bank levies, and put your tax problem behind you once and for all. If you owe tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRS or state, our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, we can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your debt for far less than what you owe. 800-357-8110. 800-357-8110. 800-357-8110. 800-357-8110.
The offer of a franchise can only be made through delivery of a franchise disclosure document. Imagine yourself being a leader in America's fastest growing demographic category. More than 10,000 people a day turn 65, and a large percentage are going to need a helping hand at home or in choosing the right assisted living community. Always Best Care is looking for people who've excelled at everything they've done, but they're seeking a new challenge. Always Best Care is one of the fastest growing companies in this explosive field. We're looking for 25 new franchisees to keep our booming business growing. We'll back you up with the strongest award-winning marketing program in the industry, and we'll provide the special training and support that's fueled our growth to prepare you for this great opportunity. All that's missing is you. Call Always Best Care toll-free at 1-800-643-7508. That's 1-800-643-7508. For Always Best Care, 1-800-643-7508. Call today.
You're listening to Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio, broadcast on the internet, and also available at archives.patrickcomelately.us, a proud member of the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. And folks, we're into the last segment of this Constitution Day special, where I'm looking at particular parts of the Constitution, trying to do a bit of an analysis of what the true intent was of the people that wrote this document, this awesome. I mean, it really is a very a really special document that many people, the people I call the regressives, which is both, remember, both sides of the aisles can be regressives. But it's really something that they're trying to denigrate, to say isn't worth anything. It's old-fashioned, it's flexible. It isn't that flexible. There is some flexibility built in, but it's not that flexible. So let's continue. I was in Section 8, and that's a fairly important one because there's a lot of things in Section 8. Some of the things that Congress shall have the power to do. We talked about the power to lay and collect taxes, and there's a bunch of them. I'm not going to go through all of these things that they have the power to do, but an important one is to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. Now, at that time, they weren't thinking at all about illegal immigration, so they were only thinking about naturalization. I would offer you that if they knew what was happening today, this particular sentence in the Constitution might have been a little bit longer, might have been a paragraph to specify. But at the time, all they needed was to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. What's important here, I feel, is that this uniform rule of naturalization is the power belongs to the Congress and not to the executive branch. The executive branch is the one that actually has to execute, and that's very specifically in there. Another one that's in this Section 8, to coin money and regulate the value thereof. Now, this is another place where Congress gave away its power. They set up the Federal Reserve System, gave away the power, because it's basically the Federal Reserve now that regulates the value of money. They may not coin it, but they regulate the value of the money. So that, the Congress gave away something that is actually in the Constitution that belongs to them. Another interesting one in these modern times: to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas. Well, we don't have a lot of that today. We do have some, remember, off the coast of Somalia. But the second part of this sentence, and offenses against the law of nations. So Congress was given, by the Founding Fathers, was given the power to define and punish piracies and felonies piracies and felonies and offenses against the laws of nation. And what would you think terrorism today is? What do you think ISIS, Al-Qaeda today is? That's something that belongs to the Congress. What have they done? They've given that to the executive branch, right? To the commander-in-chief. But they should be telling the commander-in-chief, go and do this. And we don't do that. So, a lot more, obviously, in Section 8. I'm not going to handle them. I want to finish, though, with one thing out of Article 2, which defines the executive branch. And we're almost at the end, so I don't have a lot of time for this. But Section 3 says that the president, he shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That's definitely one place where our so-called constitutional lawyer doesn't know what he's doing because or doesn't follow the Constitution. Okay, folks, that's the end of tonight's special. We will be back on schedule on the 26th of September. 27th. Ta-ta for now. Talk to you then. Thank you for listening to the show. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's topics. Whether you listened live, to a recording, or to a rebroadcast, I appreciate the time you share with me. We need to spread the message of liberty far and wide, so please tell your friends and family about the show. Thank you for helping to keep the beacon of hope burning. This is Stefan, your Patrick Come Lately, signing off. God bless America, and remember, L3, long live liberty.